What is baptism all about? Well, let's look at a typical life. Many of our lives look like this. I am the center of my life, and the different components that make up my life, family, job, school, friends, money, house, car, all revolve around me. It is my life, after all. Sometimes I bring the religion component into my life as well, and that revolves around me too. But the thing is, our relationship with Jesus was never meant to be just one piece of our lives. When we decide to follow Jesus, when we accept his invitation to become the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life, Jesus invites us to bring our whole life into our relationship with him. To follow him, not just in one component of our life, but in everything. When we are truly following Jesus, things don't revolve around us anymore. Jesus becomes the center of our lives, our family, our job, our friends, our possessions. We are now part of something that's bigger than ourselves. So what does baptism have to do with all this? Baptism is a symbol of that decision to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. That decision to go from a me-centered life to a Christ-centered life. Baptism doesn't have any supernatural power. The water isn't holy. Baptism is simply a public proclamation of what has already taken place in our hearts, dying to our old way of life and rising to a new life in Jesus Christ. That's what baptism means. That's what we celebrate.
Awesome. So that's just a little bit about what we're doing this morning. And so with that being said, I'd love to invite Connor up. And he's going to share, a bit of his testimony and kind of how he has found himself, moving from a me-centered life to a Christ-centered life. And after that, he'll invite his friend Ben up, who's going to share a little bit. And, then we'll baptize Connor. So hop on up here, bud. Oh, here, I'll pray for you before you do your testimony. Dear God, we just pray for Connor as he shares his testimony. He shares about what you've done in his life. And we just pray that you would give him peace of mind, and give him lots of joy as he goes about this process. Amen.
Amen. All right. Holy. Oh, nice wireless.
Moving up. This is much better than the announcements microphone. I'm gonna put this with Ben. Thank you, Ben. Wow. I really like to pride myself on being off book for public speaking things, but all the times I practiced this, I kept feeling like I skipped out on important pieces and stuff like that, and it's really important to me that that I get this right in front of everybody, and share as much of it as I can. So with that, let's flip and do this. I'm pumped, guys. So a little bit about me. Some of you guys know me better than others, like, my family, you guys know me pretty well, but some of you might not. So I grew up very fortunate, and not necessarily a financial sense, but in like a structural and a social sense. I was blessed at a young age with a loving family, supportive parents, siblings who were like best friends, and then friends who were like best friends, invested teachers, people in the community who took an interest and invested in me. I was really truly blessed to have an amazing social support system to be raised in. And yet there's always something lacking in my life. And I wasn't able to put a description to that feeling until much later in life. But I quite regularly had this feeling of emptiness. And it took me a while to figure out what that was and what that looked like. But throughout a lot of my childhood and adolescence, I just had this feeling of emptiness. And there were times where I'd feel fulfillment, but it wouldn't last, and I was never fully satisfied, or it wasn't a healthy way of finding satisfaction. And as I progressed into adolescence, this feeling of emptiness that I grew so common of, or that I just knew so well, started to progress into a sort of self-hatred. On paper, I had absolutely no reason to feel these ways. Like I said, I had these amazing people in my life who told me how much I was loved and encouraged me in so many ways, and I felt that encouragement and I felt that love, and there's no denying that that was a part of my life, but regardless of that, that feeling was still there, and I didn't know why. And then I got invited out to this thing called Young Life, which if you don't know what that is, you can ask me about it later. So I got invited out to this thing called Young Life, which is a youth outreach ministry. I just told you about it. You don't have to ask me later. They have a website. We have an Instagram, at YLNanaimo. We meet Thursdays. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Thanks, Ben. Then my friend invited me out to this thing called Young Life. And the more I went out to Young Life, the more I realized that there was something different about these Young Life people and this Young Life place. And it wasn't the fact that there were like supportive adults who invested in me, and it wasn't the fact that there were teens my age doing cool, fun things, and it wasn't the sense of community. I had experienced all those things in a bunch of different places in my life up until and even during that time. There was something more going on that I couldn't quite put my finger on, and I came to learn that the thing that made this Young Life community and these people different was God, and how God was at the center of everything that they were doing. God used amazing people in my life, like Ben, his wife Lainey, Sasha, Colin, if Colin's here, the Harwoods, and Dimitri, wherever you are. These amazing Young Life leaders in my life who just like had this infectious love for Jesus, and you could see it in the way they lived their lives, in the way they treated people, in everything that they did. The love of God was at the center of it, and I didn't get it. I did not understand why. I was like I felt like I knew Christianity at that point. Like, we went to Catholic church until I was like, what, 5 or 6, something like that. And so I felt like, okay, I have that background. I know people believe in that there's a God, and like I've seen it in the media and stuff. But why do these people love Jesus so much, and why is it changing their lives so much? The more I got to know these people and the more I went to Young Life, the more I got to hear about Jesus and experience the love of Jesus and hear about his sacrifice on the cross. And on a life-changing summer at Rockridge Canyon in the year of 2012, it didn't make sense to me, but I felt God's love. I felt like I was, like, I heard about his sacrifice on the cross. I didn't understand that grace. I didn't understand that love, but I felt it. And when you feel that kind of love, you can't help but not love back. I was infected, not with coronavirus, but with that sweet love of Jesus. Still a bit of ad-libbing going on. It's fun, we're keeping it light. Back then it was swine flu. That's a good point. Anyways, I gave my life to Jesus. In the summer of 2012, I gave my life to Jesus. And life didn't like change immediately. It wasn't like I got back home and was like, oh yeah, life's the best now. So long, self-hatred and empty feelings. things just didn't change overnight. When I accepted Jesus, my life didn't change immediately. And everything wasn't always perfect. And it didn't mean that these feelings went away. But what it did mean was, even on those days where I didn't love myself, I knew that the God of the universe did. And when I was reminded of that love, that overwhelming love, I started to feel that love again. That love for God and that love for myself. And when you feel that kind of love, like, You just can't go back. He's brought so many incredible people into my life, some of whom are represented in this room right now. And it's so overwhelming and so incredible. And yeah, so many incredible people in my life that I get to do life with. People who make me fall more and more in love with Jesus and God every day. We were asked to share some scripture as a part of our testimony, and my Young Life people recognize this one as something that we talk about in training and leader meetings a lot, and it's 1 Thessalonians 2:8. For we loved you so much that we shared with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. When you love Jesus, you just can't help but share your life with others. And I think that's so evident from all the people in this room today. In John 10, Jesus talks about how he was here to bring life to the full. And and my life is so full and has continued to be more and more full. And in these times where that emptiness does creep in, it's so overpowered by that fullness of Jesus that it never lasts anymore. So that's my testimony. Now, okay, that's fine. I would now, thanks, Ben. I'd like to invite my friend and Young Life leader, the man who helped bring me to Christ, Ben Fraser. Here, Ben.
Thanks. I was hoping I would get to talk, so I prepared a short little sermon for you. It's a treat for myself, mostly. It won't be more than 45, 50 minutes. But, yeah, I'm delighted to be here. It's an honor to be here to baptize Connor, which means I am a poet, and I didn't even realize it. As Connor said, I was his Young Life leader, and I want to say, how much of you in this room have been involved in Young Life? Yeah, like holy moly. And when you're in it, you don't stop and think about how weird it is. Reflecting back on how I met Connor, he would have been 14 or 15, and I would have been 24 or 25. And I'm a 24, 25-year-old man saying, I must become friends with this teenager. Becoming friends with this teenager will be something that is great. And the gospel story that always sticks out to me when I think about, man, it is weird what we do, is when Jesus called Peter. I'm sure you're all familiar. I'm sure you've all memorized this story by now, but I'll give you a little paraphrase. Jesus had been preaching, and Peter had been sitting on the dock listening. He had just finished his shift fishing, and he's cleaning his nets. And then, of course, Jesus comes up and says, hey, how did the fishing go? And Peter's like, we didn't catch anything. So it doesn't tell you the tone that he's speaking, but I'm reading into it very much. We didn't catch anything. Jesus says, hey, try again. Try again. Go try over there. And Peter, who's a career fisherman, it's like, I just finished. And again, I'm interpreting this. I'm thinking what Peter's thinking, because we've all had people come up to us and say, hey, did you try putting sand down when your car is stuck in the snow? And it's like, yeah, of course we tried sand. That's the first thing we tried. To me, Jesus is that guy in this story. But he says, Peter, go try again. And for whatever reason, Peter goes and tries again. I think lots of times in our lives, people talk about hearing God's voice, hearing God's call. And in our lives, it's never quite as simple as Jesus walking up to us and saying, go try this. Sometimes it's hard to discern what we're called to do by God. But thinking back to my time in Young Life, it was very clear that Connor was someone God wanted me to invest in. Relationally, that is such a horrible way to say it. God put me in Connor's life for a reason. And like in the story, the gospel. Peter listens. He goes out, puts his net out, and catches more fish than he's ever seen in his life. And when you're a young life leader in your early 20s, going into high schools, meeting kids who you're afraid are going to think you're a big weirdo, or you're afraid you're going to get kicked out of the school because why are you here in the first place? It can be hard to listen to God's call like that. But Connor is living proof that when you listen to what God is telling you to do, like young life leaders are called to do, amazing things can happen. So that's my little message to all of you, is when you feel that tug, when you feel that, I don't know, this doesn't seem like the natural thing to do. It's not natural for a 25-year-old to go walk and talk to teenagers. It's not natural for a fisherman to go fishing in the morning after he's cleaned his nets. But God doesn't do what's natural. God does what's supernatural. And that's what God did in Connor's life, and so many of our lives. I wish I had a good closing line, but that's it. Now what happens? Let's just say one more thing. So I'm talking to you, now I'm talking to Connor. I'm going to try not to cry, but I'm very proud of you. You're so wise and great. To paraphrase Yoda in Star Wars, The Last Jedi, it is the joy of all masters to see their students surpass them. And that's what Connor has done. So let's baptize this guy.
Awesome. Here, can you hold this one? Thanks. Make sure your phones are out of your pockets. So they're going to jump in this brand new tank that I found online. Woohoo. And then I'm going to ask Connor a couple questions, and then, yeah, he's going to dunk him.
Just so I can get my towel.
Yeah, man.
Oh, it's waterproof. It's Acacia.
No, you get in. You're dunking them, yeah.
Just a couple friends in a tub.
Awesome. You're going to want to move, Connor, so you have somewhere to dunk back. You stand here. Yeah, me neither. You stand here. You're going to want to stand, like, beside him. And you're just going to, you know, plug your nose. And then you're just going to grab his back and just hold on to here and just dunk him. Awesome. People are very buoyant. Awesome. So, jokes aside, Connor, have you embraced Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And is it your desire to show that commitment to Jesus through baptism today?
Yes.
Then it is our honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Get everybody to stand and we'll respond in worship.
God, thank you so much for the victory that we have in you, for the resurrection power that we have through your name, Lord God. In Romans 6, 4-7, it says, therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we've become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed us from sin. In Romans 6, verse 5, if you have been united with him in death, certainly we will be united with him in his resurrection. Christ's death and resurrection was not in vain. Throughout Romans, Paul argues that Jesus' sacrifice is a substitutionary atonement. In other words, his victory over the grave has become our victory over the grave. In the next song, there's a chunk that says that you stood before my failure and carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. When we sing about Christ's sacrifice for us in this next song, we must also remember that his victory is given to us. The power of this stanza is that we recognize that it is Jesus' victory that allows us to stand, not our own efforts.
So there's a passage I'd like to share today that's just been speaking to me lately, and it comes out of Acts 17. And in Acts 17, Paul goes to the city of Athens, and he preaches the good news to these people. And these people have a ton of gods everywhere that they're worshiping. And Paul reaches out by telling them how God is so good and so far above any being made in an image. And in this, Paul says this beautiful summary of how wonderful our God is. And it says this: He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far away from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. I love that passage. And the phrases I want to focus on and for you to take throughout your week is that God gives life and breath to everything, and that in him we live and move and exist. There's no other that gives life to the world, and our very existence is because of our wonderful God. And I find this idea so encouraging, that God is the sustainer and the life giver. Our time today. First, thanks for coming to a very interesting service here at Hammond Bay Church. I hope you enjoyed it. And so since it's Baptism Sunday, I thought that I would just read an encouraging scripture about baptism found in Galatians 3, and says this: For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We're all one, and we are all united as Christians. And this morning we had the opportunity to see a baptism, to see a symbol of what it means to put on Christ, to walk around with your Christ clothes on. We're united in Christ. I encourage you as you go into your week to know that you are part of a united body of Christians. Remember this symbol this morning. As we journey into an unknown couple of weeks, know that you are united, you're not alone, and we as Christians can work together to make a difference in the world. So thank you so much for coming out to service at Hammond Bay, and yeah, make sure you congratulate Connor on your way out on his baptism. Yeah. Thank you.